All right. You know, I tell you what, we're going to launch a series today called ABC's Financial Freedom, and I'm excited about this, and I know it's even going to make me and push me and grow me. Before we go into that, I want to encourage you and you guys online to keep diving into our daily Bible reading. You can find our daily Bible schedule at riverchristian.church/daily Bible, and I tell you what, it is blessing so many people. I'm so encouraged. In fact, I saw this photo this past week from Hannah Lunas, who said she was encouraging all the young adults in our church on the young adult Facebook group, hey, make sure you're staying in the Word every single day by following the daily Bible reading. And I appreciated that so much. And so I want to encourage you with that as well. Don't forget that. Even though we're going to a different series, we're going to launch back into our daily Bible reading called It Is Written series in March, which is just coming around the corner here pretty soon. And so I'm excited about this as we launch into this. And I want to tell you, one thing I've observed as we start this ABCs of Financial Freedom series, one thing I've observed about human nature with myself and with many people is this right here. I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something I don't have, right? I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something I don't have. I saw a study of a few monkeys. Two monkeys were in a complete a simple task. They were to give a rock to the person. And when they gave a rock to a person, they would get a reward. It was called a cucumber, which is basically water, right? But the monkeys seemed totally satisfied with this. He did it 25 times, just giving the rock, eating the cucumber, giving the rock, eating the cucumber. That went on and on until the monkey next to him got an even better fruit. And a better fruit than a cucumber would definitely be a grape, wouldn't you agree? I mean, grapes are far better fruit. And so all of a sudden they've got the grape, and all of a sudden you saw the other monkey not to be too happy about this. I want you to notice what happens. Watch this video right now. So the monkey on the left is going to give a rock, and then when he gives a rock, he always gets a cucumber. He's totally fine with that. Then the monkey on the right gives a rock back, and then what he gets is a grape. Now the monkey on the left notices that, and he's like, oh, that's an upgrade. I would like that. So he gives a rock, and then he gets a cucumber, which was fine before, but this time he's not very happy about it at all. And so he notices what's going to happen next, and he gives the next one gives a rock, and he's going to get a rock, and next one happens, he gets a grape. Now the monkey to the left notices this, and he's like, okay, now check this out. This is definitely a rock. He's going to bang it against the wall to make sure you know it's a rock. He hands it over, and he gets a cucumber instead. Look what happens. He's not very happy about it at all right? So even monkeys are content with what they have until a monkey gets something that they don't have, right? And maybe you're like that in your life. You know, maybe you've had a neighbor and they buy a boat. I'm not just any boat. I'm talking about mother of all boats, right? You see them and they have their boat. You'll see one on the screen right now. All right. So not only do they have a boat, but also, they have a boat. But not only that, you've got a boat. I mean, you were content with your boat until you saw their boat. Like, I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something that I don't have. And so you can get a boat. You can go to the boat dealer, right, and get a boat. And they'll finance you for 75 years, you know, but you can get a boat. God bless America. Isn't that wonderful, right? I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something that I don't have. And what I'm describing right now is at the root of our financial fiascos, financial foolishness, financial frustrations, financial fights. So many of us are in major debt. You're in debt right now because you bought something, or you're wearing something, you vacationed somewhere because you saw, hey, that's what they're doing. I ought to do that. We bust our finances wide open, don't we, trying to keep up the Kardashians. I've been researching and said that 65% of couples fight over money. 65% of you agree with that statement right there. Our ABC reported that over a quarter of baby boomers have less than $1,000 saved up in their account right now. And those people are actually retiring. Lots of college graduations getting ready to happen. The average college graduate has $40,000 of student loan debt, and they don't even have a job yet. And I would say check your pacemaker on this one. More people, hear me, more people declared bankruptcy last year than graduated from college. No wonder we worry. No wonder we fight. No wonder we stress about money. No wonder one of the leading causes of divorce is money. I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something that I don't have. And this was true of Barry Cameron, Barry's a dear friend of mine, and he's a very amazing disciple of Jesus Christ. He knows he was in incredible debt, and so he decided, you know what, I'm going to operate differently. He was trying to pay the bills. He was in consumer debt, credit card debt, and he was struggling. He said, you know what, I'm going to take a break from the foolishness, and he decided to get out of debt. And when Barry, now, when he goes to a restaurant, he will tip his server 100%. Why? Because he can be generous like that because he's debt-free. Wouldn't you love to be his server? You're like, man, I hope he's going to pay a lot of money, you know, for food because I'm going to get a lot of money in tip if Barry's your server. That's just, he's very generous. In fact, he got himself out of debt. He let his church out of debt because his church was in such financial great situation. They were able to fund a group called the Salmon Foundation when it started. Salmon Foundation is really a big part of why we are who we are. They helped launch us here at RCC because of Barry's own discipleship in Jesus Christ, honoring him with the resources that was given to him. He wrote it in a book, and we want to make sure you have this if there are supplies at last. Make sure you pick up this. In fact, you guys online, let us know. We'll get you a book. We'll mail it to you. And this right here is free. We want you to have this because this is all leading up to an amazing week that we're going to have the very last week of February. Barry Cameron's going to be here. He's a dear friend of mine, and he can't wait to show up here to tell you about his journey in this and how it has blessed numerous people, including us, whether you realize it or not. I tell you what, that's where we want to be. That's where we want to go. We want to be free so that we can be generous. We want to get out of fear and into peace. And so we have to take advantage of these resources. But let's be honest. First, we need to have an attitude adjustment. That's kind of where we're at today. A stands for attitude. Many of us operate like this. We operate in life like this guy who was driving through from Lincoln Tunnel from New Jersey to Manhattan. And what happened was he had all these bathtubs and these toilets and these plumbing fixtures all loaded up in his tractor trailer. And as he went through there, what happened was there was a big problem. His tractor trailer was 13 and a half feet tall. The issue is the tunnel has a limit of 13 feet. And so he drove the entire 1.5 miles through the tunnel, tearing his way underneath the Hudson River. The tunnel tube actually kept together, but the problem was his tractor trailer got ripped off like a tin can. No one was injured, but an undetermined number of tunnel ceiling tiles were destroyed. Here's a photo of what it looked like after he was done. Totally unclear, says why the driver did not heed the warnings or hear the loudspeaker. In fact, a spokesman for the Port Authority in New York and New Jersey said, there were enough bells and whistles going off that this should not have happened, is what they said. You and I know that there are a lot of things in life that should not happen, but they do. Why? Because like the truck driver driving through the tunnel, we don't heed the warnings. We think we're fine. We have an attitude that says this: we don't want anyone telling us what to do. And so we keep going, even when it means we destroy the very things and the very people that we love the most. And I think if the attitude we have to have is the attitude we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We see King David, the greatest king that Israel ever had. He had an incredible attitude towards money and what that looks like. And so what I want us to do, I want us to look like, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, starting in verse 10. And I want all of us right now, if you'll stand with me, everybody please stand, and we're going to just honor God's word. And this is an incredible section of scripture. And I want you to see once again the attitude of David as he praised God in the presence of the whole assembly. Here's what it says. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is a kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And so we are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Please be seated. I tell you what, there's tons in this passage here, but I think the point is clear. I think the point is this: keep your Bible open. We're going to talk about that attitude right now. So if you have your Bible, keep it on 1 Chronicles 29. If we're going to get our financial house in order, we're going to have an attitude like King David in regards to what God blesses us with. And so here's what I want to start off with. In verse 11, we see this, six things. Everything in heaven and on earth is what? Is yours, God. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Those cars out there in the parking lot that you came in on, by the way, they're not yours. All right? That house you slept in last night, the house you guys right now are watching online from, that's not your house. Some smart aleck's going, that's the bank's house. No, it's really the God's house. It's really God's. Number two, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Riches and honor come from who? Come from God. He's the one who gets to decide who gets it and who doesn't. Point number three, we see this in verse 12. It's your hand that makes great. It's your hand, God, that gives strength. It's not you who put the deal together, by the way. It's not because of your shrewdness and your charisma and your drive. Guess where that came from? It came from God. God's the one who gave you the talent. He's the one that gave you your IQ level. He's the one that gave you your energy, your drive, your passion, your ambition. He's the one that gave you all those qualities to do whatever you're doing right now, to accomplish anything you're accomplishing. That didn't come from you. It came from God. He's the one that determines that. Verse 14, we see this. Number four, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give anything to you is what David says to God. Now, David got it. He understood that anything comes from God. Everything comes from God. Everything. We don't have anything except for what God has given us. I think about the scientists who went to God and said, God, you know what? We're starting to clone people. We're starting to do organ transplants. And we're realizing that, you know, those things were considered miraculous years ago. We realize we really don't need you anymore, God. And God's like, really? Okay, you don't need me, huh? How about this? Let's put your theory to test, Mr. Scientist. Why don't we have a competition to see who can make a human being? And the scientist agrees to it. And God declares that they should do it like he did it back in the old days when he made Adam. And the scientist says, fine. He bends down and scoops up a handful of dirt. And God says, whoa, hold on now. He shakes his head in disapproval. He said, not so fast. He says, you get your own dirt. Everything comes from God. Anything you see comes from God. Doesn't come from us. We didn't create dirt. We didn't create all this stuff. We make things from all that, but God's the one who made it. And on top of that, which leads to number five, all things come from you, God. That's what David says in verse 14. The next breath you just took, that breath you just took right then, that's a blessing from God. That's a gift from God. Just that breath, that heartbeat beat that you just have, you don't even notice it, came from God. Your job, your spouse, your house, your kids, they all come from God. And then David says, hey, all we gave you, guess what, God, was already yours. He says that in verse 14 and 16. David got it. He understood. David had the right attitude. And if you and I, if we're going to be able to achieve financial freedom, we have got to have an attitude similar to David's. And I suggest five attitude changes, adjustments that we need to make. If you want to experience financial freedom in your life, you have to go from this attitude from, hey, I don't need a plan, to, if I don't follow God's plan, I don't have a prayer. Many of us need to go from, I don't need a plan, to, if I don't follow God's plan, I don't have a prayer. Now, if you're paying attention to what David says in 1 Corinthians 29, this should be a no-brainer. But some of you, if you're honest, you're saying to me right now, well, Nathan, I mean, I don't follow God's plan, my finances. I mean, we don't do all this stuff. I mean, we're doing just great. I got money, I got stocks, I got bonds, I got 401k. I'm doing great. I mean, I love RCC, and I put up with you, Pastor Freeman, but we don't need a plan. And here's what I say to you. If you read, if you have your Bibles, you open up sometime, and I would mark it in your notes, Luke chapter 12, you will see the parable of the rich fool. And if you will read that parable that Jesus tells about the rich fool who did not have a plan, if you read that parable and you understand that parable, it'll keep you up at night. If you don't have a change, you have to change your attitude from, I don't need to have a plan, to, if I don't follow God's plan, I don't have a prayer. You can't afford to keep driving through the tunnel and acting like nothing's wrong. And don't you think that a guy who was driving through the tunnel, don't you think he heard something? Don't you think he felt some vibrations as he was driving through that tunnel 1.5 miles? And I tell you, I could tell you exactly what his focus was. His focus was this: I just want to get through all this. I just want to get through all this. 1.5 miles. And many of us, we're operating the same way. He got all the way through it, and then when he got through it, he realized all that was destroyed. And that's what happens with many of our finances, because we don't follow God's plan, we don't listen to God's warning. I'm telling you, bad things happen. I think about Proverbs 29 verse 18, and if you may not know this off the top of your head, but I guarantee you've heard it. And here's what Proverbs 29 18 says. It says this: without a vision, the people what? The people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. How many of you have heard that scripture, that saying before? Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Without a vision, the people perish. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says this: where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Where does prophetic vision come from? Does it come from Google? Does it come from the internet? Does it come from, I don't know, Facebook? Where does prophetic vision come from? It comes from who? God. It comes from God. And what does it mean? The people cast off restraint. It means they didn't follow a plan. They lose all self-control. They do whatever they want. So when you and I don't have God's vision for our finances, when we just do our own thing and go our own way, we're like the truck driver driving through the tunnel, destroying our own truck, even not realizing it till it's too late. Without God's plan, without God's vision for our finances, when we go to the other side, when we get to the other side, we'll find out we destroyed everything and most likely everyone that we love and we care about. I love this better idea. Here's a better idea from Proverbs, and here it is: commit. Commit to what? Commit to the who? Lord. Commit to the Lord, whatever you do. And guess what will happen? He will establish your plans. You know what Solomon, who wrote this, is saying? Let's get God in on this. Let's get God. I'm gonna follow your way. I'm gonna follow your plan. I'm gonna follow your will. God's plan will never fail, right? God's plan will never fail. Our plan will always fail. If you want to get out of financial, get to financial freedom, experience that, we've got to change your attitude from what I do with my money is my business to what I do with God's money is God's business. Say that with me on count of three. Let's do it together. One, two, three. What I do with my money is my business to what I do with God's money is God's business. Like David, everything in heaven on earth, David says, belongs to God. All things come from him, and everything we give to him was already his in the first place. There's a preacher, and he'll preach, and he'll say, hey, take out your wallet. In fact, I want you, if you have your wallet out, I got my wallet, I got one of these big old fat wallets right here, all right, because I'm old school. Get your wallet out if you have your wallet, all right? Just hold it in your hand, all right? And here's what he'd do. I'm not going to tell you to do this, all right? But just, he would say, hey, pass your wallet to the person next to you. I don't trust the people in this room, so don't do it. But anyway, you know, he'd say, pass the wallet to the person next to you, and they would switch wallets, all right? And then he would say this, he'd say, all right, so now I want you, if I told you right now, whatever's in that wallet, you are to give to the Lord. Do you have a problem? Is it difficult for you to give whatever's in that wallet, belongs to somebody else, it's in your hand, is it difficult for you to give whatever's in that wallet to the Lord? Guess what they say? Nope. Why? It's somebody else's money. Like, it's not your money, right? You're giving God somebody else's money. You're like, yeah, I'll give all of it, man. Let's just give it all away, right? And then they give their wallet back. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your wallet. I want you to put your wallet in the air. If you have your wallet, put it in the air, all right? Wherever you're at, even guys online, you can do it with me. I'm putting my wallet right now. Put your wallet in the air. All right, here's the thing. Right now, there's money right there. There goes money. Lord, you can have some of that. That's yours, all right? Better hold like this. All right, guess what? You're holding somebody else's money right now up. This is somebody else's money. Whose money is this? Whose money is this? It's God's money. It's God's money. And that's the reality. Everything we have is not really ours. It is God's. See, when you think it's my money, when you think it's my business, you are offline. You're off track. You're going through the tunnel, tearing your life, tearing your future apart. Here's the next one. If you want to achieve financial freedom, you got to change your attitude from, hey, there's nothing I can do, Two, there's nothing God can't do. You got to change your attitude from, man, there's nothing I can do, Pastor. You don't know my situation. You don't know there's nothing I can do, to, hey, guess what? There's nothing God cannot do. Listen, there are no hopeless situations when God's involved. Amen? There are no hopeless situations when God is involved. I think about this passage from Ephesians chapter 3. It says this, now to him, read with me, who is able, now let's say that like we're not talking about our distant uncle, all right? Here we go. Now to him, what church? Who is able? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to whose power? His power that's at work within us, to him, not us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Family, we have got to change your attitude from there's nothing I can do to, man, there's nothing God cannot do. If you want chief financial freedom in your life, you got to change your attitude from, hey, I'm giving to get something, to giving for no other reason than this. I love God. Now, I know there are people out there that teach, if I give this and God will give that. It's true that God will give to us, but that's not why we should give. Listen, if God didn't give me a single thing back, I owe him everything. I owe him my life. I owe him this body. I owe him the experience I've had in every aspect of life. I owe him love. He has given me so much. I owe everything back to him, even if he didn't give me another single thing. I know the preachers out there say, hey, if you give $1,000, this is what's going to happen to you. By the way, that's not in the Bible. You're not going to find that in the Bible. Sometimes God doesn't bless us financially. Sometimes he blesses us from protecting us from sickness, and sometimes from disease and death. And sometimes he protects your job. I believe there's all kinds of ways that God goes before us, for us, and protects us because we give. But we don't give because I'm giving to get something. He goes before us because he knows we love him. And that's why we give back to him. And I'm standing before you as a testimony of someone that is, I think, a very blessed man because God's blessed him, but it's just because of love. I just love him. I just see what he's doing and all around me. And how can I not respond with faith and sacrifice? I contrast that kind of giving, what you see in Las Vegas where you play the slot machines, and every time I'll go through a place like that, I want to go, show me the winners. Who are the winners? There's not many winners. Why? Because everything is set up to benefit the house. You lose more than you win. You know what? That's not how God operates. That's not God's plan. Jesus said this, it's more blessed to give than it is to what, church? Than it is to receive. Do you know that? Most people miss this. Jesus said the blessing is not when you receive. The blessing is when you what? The blessing is when you give. It's when you give. We give because we want to give because out of love and out of devotion to God. Has anyone ever asked you why do you give? Has anyone ever asked you why you don't give? And I want to encourage you right now as parents and grandparents, you need to share. You need to share what you do and why you do what you do to the next generation. Let's bring up a whole band of people who are going to experience the generosity and the graciousness of Jesus Christ. But many of us, we don't want to share. We don't want people asking. Some of us say, no one knows whether or not I give. And I say, you're wrong. God knows. And he's not wondering why you don't give. He already knows why you don't give. There's four levels of giving, and we're all falling underneath these categories. Number one is hesitant givers. Where some of us may be hesitant givers. Those are people who don't know if they can trust God. These are people who don't think they can afford to give. This was me in my life at one point. I thought I couldn't afford to give. I was a teenager, and I work odd jobs at Christmas tree farm or Chick-fil-A or pressure washing or painting houses, lawns, whatever it was I was doing at the time. And I'm like, I don't have much money. And I was sitting in a worship service in a gym. Not sure why we were in a gym. I was sitting next to my friend named Tabitha. Now, Tabitha, I never saw her as like a beacon of, you know, following Jesus, you know, so I was kind of a little judgmental. But one time, I take the collection plate, we're sitting next to each other, I pass this, back in the day we had collection plates, you know, before COVID, I pass the collection plate next to her. She looks at me, is like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean what I'm doing? She's like, you're not going to give anything? I'm like, Really? And she put down an amount of money, and I saw what she put down, and I doubled that amount because there's a little bit of a competition all of a sudden. And then, you know, then all of a sudden the collection plate got passed on, and Tabitha taught me something. She says, you're never too young to start giving. If you're a teenager, you need to start giving. I tell you what, ever since that Sunday, Tabitha taught me, and I want to tell you something right now, my pastor never brought up money. I think he was too scared to talk about it, and it harmed many of us. It harmed me. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful for Tabitha, because ever since that one Sunday, I've always given. Because Tabitha looked at me and she taught me something that 1,000 sermons probably couldn't teach me. So some of us, you know, we think we can't afford to give. And I would say, if you're a teenager, you can afford to give. My kids can afford to give, my teenagers. There are people who can think of all kinds of situations why not to give, but they're struggling to find a reason why they could give. And I praise God for the Tabithas, but does this hesitant giver, does this describe you? The second level is this, and that is obedient givers. These are people who are doing what they're supposed to do. They don't do more. You know, this isn't necessarily bad. They just give up right to the line, right? I'm going to do what I have to do, and that's it, right? I'm going to tithe, get 10%, and that's all I'm going to do. And the Bible says I ought to do this, and I'm going to do it. Malachi 3:10 and Matthew 23:23, like someone driving the speed limit. I'm going to go 55, not going to go above 55. Not necessarily joyless, not necessarily joyful. Just doing what they're supposed to do. Being obedient isn't bad. Now, let me just tell you, I'm raising 3 kids right now, and as you start off with 3 kids, a lot of times they obey you out of fear, right? When I was growing up, my mom would say this. She'd say, wait till your father gets home. Raise your hand if you grew up in a home like I did, all right? Wait till your... It's like, where was child protection services when I was growing up, right? I mean, you know, wait till your father gets home, and I want you to know, I got spanked all the time, and I deserved every one of those things, right? I deserved a lot more. They only caught me like a third of the stuff, all right? But I tell you what, what you want is you want your kids not to obey you out of fear. You want them to mature and grow and get to a place where they obey you out of love, out of respect, out of honor. And that's how it should be with God. Obedient givers give to the line and stop right there. Is that you? Next step is this, abundant givers. These are people who do what they're supposed to do and beyond. They bring the tithe, we read about Malachi, they bring the tithe to the store, they bring the tithe to the church, and then they give an offering above the tithe. They go beyond what's expected to what's exhilarating. They're full of joy and full of expectation of what God is going to do. They've seen God show up in their giving, they're like, oh my goodness, and they continue to do it. They love to give. Is that you? And that's still not even the best level. The next level is this one, extravagant givers. These are people who give sacrificially. They bring God's tithe. They bring the offering, and then they go and give beyond that. In fact, these people love to give, and they look for ways to give, not just to the local church. They bring it to the storehouse, the church, and then they even give to other things outside of that. These are extravagant givers. They are expectant givers. They are excited givers. They love seeing what God is doing. They have learned the joy that is much more blessed to give than it is to receive. These are the 4 levels. So which one describes you? Are you a hesitant giver? Are you an obedient giver? Are you an abundant giver? Are you an extravagant giver? And here's my question. What do you think God wants all of us to be? Well, what do you think God wants us all to be? Here's the 5th attitude I want to move to, and here's what we got to have if we want to get a financial freedom, if we want to get to financial freedom. You have to change your attitude from honoring God with my wealth is where I want to end up to this, honoring God with my wealth is where I want to begin. Where I want to begin. See, a lot of people out there who say, hey, when the kids get out of school, when I retire, when the wedding's done, then I'm going to do awesome things for God with my giving. Let me just say this. If you don't do awesome things for God when you have $100 in the bank account, you're not going to do awesome things for God when you have $1 million in the bank account. Why? It's not about money. It's about your heart. It's about your attitude. It's a heart and attitude thing. Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with this. Look at this. The first fruits. With the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Let me look at this. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the what? With the first fruits. What's that mean? Not leftovers. God is saying, you honor me, I'll honor you. You bless me, I'll bless you. I don't give leftovers. I don't first give my money to Visa. Visa cannot bless my life. I don't give my money first to mortgage company. Mortgage company can't bless my life. First fruits, I give God to him first. I give to God best. I will do that over and over. All it says of all we produce and all we receive. Randy Alcorn put it this way. He says, it's impossible, notice that word, it's impossible to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus without also becoming a fully devoted steward of your resources. You have to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. What's that look like? Being a fully devoted and developed steward of your resources and really his resources. And when we do it God's way, everything works. And it doesn't mean there are not going to be setbacks. It doesn't mean there are not going to be trials. But hear me. Remember Ephesians chapter 3. God is able. He will do immeasurably more than all we could ever do. And we've got to learn to do it God's way. And we've got to learn to follow God's plan. And some of you right now are thinking, well, I can never be an extravagant giver. And I would say, not as long as you keep doing what you're doing. You're right. You know, we have to change how we operate. Our goal in the series is to become extravagant givers, to leave debt behind. And I think about E.V. Hill, a famous pastor from Los Angeles. He's put it this way. He says, whatever God can get through you, he will get to you. I love that. Whatever God can get through you and come out of you, he will get to you. God knows if you're a river, and God knows if you're a reservoir. Reservoir, by the way, we're not Reservoir Christian Church. We are River Christian Church. Why is that? Because we want to allow God's blessing to flow through us to our community and to the lost and winning more people to Jesus Christ. Are you a river or another idea? Are you a Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is in the Holy Lands, and just all it does is just takes from the Jordan River. It takes. There's no outlet. Therefore, it's known as the Dead Sea. Are you just receiving? That's all you do? Or are you receiving and giving? Are you allowing it to flow through you? If you so, then God will give it to you. I believe that. I think about Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. It was indiscriminate in its destruction. It destroyed buildings and houses and roads and even church buildings. People fled New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit, and they went all over the country. And although it had been so easy to be discouraged and complain, one church, White Dove Fellowship Church, had a different attitude. Before Katrina, there were 3,000 people. After Katrina, there were about 300 people. They showed up. 300 people showed up in the first service there after the hurricane. And during an emotional sermon, Reverend Mill offered a unique Christian perspective and on the tragedy that hit him and how it affected his congregation. He told his people, he said this, "We have successfully planted people all over the United States." And he also noted this, "We used to sing that Jesus is all we need. Now we realize Jesus is all we've got." What a great attitude. Jesus is all we got. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And at the end of the day, we'll realize, which God do we worship? I hope that you realize this, that Jesus is all really that you've got. This stuff just goes. It becomes moth food one day. But one day, at the end of the day, what's going to matter most is Jesus all you got? Because we're going to need his help in this. We're going to need Jesus. We're going to need his word. We're going to need his will. We're going to need his way. We're going to need his blessing. And my last question to you this morning is this. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and you can fill out that response card that's there in your seat. Maybe today you want to pray. You want to pray, God, I need your will. I need you to change my attitude in this because this is new to me. I've never heard anything different. And this is challenging me, God. Lord, open my heart. Maybe you need prayer in that. Maybe you want to pray for somebody else who's really struggling in regards to an area like this in their life. You can take that prayer, you can take that response card and take it to the crosses on your right or your left. You guys online, what you can do is go to request prayers right at the bottom of your page right now online. Just hit that button. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, let us know by hitting that request prayer. You got a prayer request, whatever it is, you want to respond in any way, fill out that request prayer button. You guys as well, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, make sure you fill out the response card and take it to the cross and we'll follow up with you. But right now, everyone, let's stand. Let's stand together and let's go to God in prayer. Father God, you are the great creator. You are the great sustainer. You are the great giver. And Lord, today, may we give our life to you. May we realize at the end of the day, you are all that we've got. Today and every day for all of eternity. And Lord, because of that, may we build every aspect of our lives on that truth, Lord, that you are not just Savior, but you're also Lord. Lord, you call the shots with everything that you give us. Lord, it's all yours anyway. Lord, thank you so much for the generosity of this church. Lord, thank you for the graciousness of Jesus Christ, and may we be gracious in our life as well. Lord, may we receive the grace of Jesus if we haven't done so right now in this moment. May we honor him and follow him with our life, receiving the salvation that comes only through Jesus. Lord, if there's any prayer needs whatsoever, may they start moving right now. May we fill out those cards right now. Fill out that page right now online. And Lord, may you hear our prayers. Lord, I know you're going to respond, and may we always follow your will and not our will in any aspect of our life. Lord, thank you so much for your redemption. Thank you so much for your love and your grace through Jesus. We pray this in his name, and the whole church said, amen. If there's any way we could be blessing to you, please let us know. Once again, fill out that response card, prayer card, follow the crosses. You guys online, you know what to do. Let's sing God's praise right now and give him full devotion, because he took what was broken and made it beautiful through Jesus. Let's give him praise.